am I sounding particularly crisp today? Like, my voice in my ears, I'm like, it's like very like sharp.
Just like the crispy like, noodle.
Ah, there you go. Uh-huh. You did it on purpose.
Perfect.
The evil laugh was unnecessary, but welcome.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, folks. It's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but, you know, sometimes we'll also go off on a random tangent if we have to.
Yeah, tangent away.
That's right. You never know exactly what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I mean, we do have an outline, and we do post with our blog posts, you know, things that happen. But sometimes you get a random tidbit of wackiness and knowledge and funny and comedy and anything that comes out of this.
We're like entertainment bloodhounds, where we see a trail of something that could be exploited for humor's purpose. We chase it to the ends of the earth and rip out its innards. Do bloodhounds do that?
Sure. I don't know. It sounds like something bloodhounds would do.
Sticking with it.
It sounds like something they would do.
I'm sticking with it.
Okay. Well, Mike the animal expert.
That's right. I'm basically the next Steve Irwin.
Okay. All right. Well, before we give you animal news and sports news and entertainment and odd news, we like to do a personal bit to let you know what we've been up to in the time since we last did the show last week. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up with you?
I'm good. Maybe the reason why I'm feeling so bloodthirsty is because I just watched Us on Demand. That is the new Jordan Peele. I say new, but it's been out for a while. The new Jordan Peele horror, psychological horror comedy / social commentary film. Man, I got to tell you, watching his stuff, I'm just so impressed because obviously he's from a comedy background.
Yeah.
And then with Get Out, he's like, I'm going to do horror. And it was so good. And then I think he comes right back with Us and knocks it out of the park again.
Oh, good.
It was really, really good. Here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of horror movies, as you know, but I really like Jordan Peele stuff because it's less of the, you know, creepy demonic girl in the white dress skittering around on all fours type of horror. And it's more the watching somebody trying to claw their way out of a closed casket type of horror. It's more of a psychological horror, the cold sweat type of horror, more so than the jump scare. And it is so unsettling and unnerving, but in the best way possible. Like, you're watching the movie and the whole time, you're like, you just feel so uncomfortable, but in a good way. Like, that's what the movie's going for.
Okay.
And I don't want to say too much because it'll spoil it, but everybody knows the basic premise of this family goes on vacation and there's like this family of doppelgangers that sort of, you know, attacks them and, you know, traps them in their house sort of deal. And it is so creepy. Lupita Nyong'o, I think is her name, the lead actress, does such a good job in both roles of, you know, the regular character and her doppelganger, because they play both roles, the same actors and actresses. And oh man, it's just, it's that whole idea that it's the horror of seeing something recognizable, but it's just off on a few key variables. You know, it's like that uncanny valley thing where it's like, just like their eyes are like extra buggy and their smiles are a little bit too wide. It's like all those little tiny elements that you take for granted and they just nail every single one of them. But what I think you'll really like, Rich, if you haven't seen it yet, is there's this entire, like, I want to say, like, twisted sci-fi subplot thing going on that I don't really want to delve into because it would ruin a lot of the movie. And it's one of those, like Get Out, sort of social commentary aspect of the underlying horror element.
Okay.
So I really highly recommend it. It was fantastic. Like I said, not traditional horror. If you're going into it thinking The Ring or thinking jump scares or Chucky or slasher films, you're not going to enjoy it. If you're going in thinking this is a blend of horror and comedy and I'm going to break out in cold sweats and then nervously laugh immediately after it, then it will satisfy what you're looking for.
Okay. You know, if you are interested in doppelgangers, you should get into Twin Peaks because that's a theme of the show later on.
That's a yes.
You know, so, like that guy. You know what's funny is there are characters in the movie that sound eerily like what that person was doing with a woo woo.
Yeah. So
yeah. It was. Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
I think you might have to check out Twin Peaks.
Hello!
There you go.
That's a little heavy on the campiness, but...
it's heavy on a lot of things. You don't even know what you're talking about yet.
Oh, boy.
When you get into David Lynch, oh, yeah, there's a lot of things that's heavy.
yeah. He is an auteur. But, yeah, I watched Get Out. I watched Us. I also saw Toy Story, but I'll get to that later. Toy Story 4. Rich, what have you been up to recently?
Let's see. What did I do this past? I went to the driving range. Practice a little bit. A little bit. Fine tune my golf skills a little bit.
Yeah, you haven't been in a while, have you?
Well, I played a full 18 holes last month, and that was good. It got my itch. You know that I want to get back out on the golf course.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was fun. I went with a couple of friends, some that weren't used to golf.
Oh boy.
So that was cool to, you know, show them how to, you know, show them the ropes, you know, how to get your golf swing.
So you were the expert there.
A little bit. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Let me show you how it's done.
Uh-huh. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. We went to this random driving range in Delaware and it had a giraffe. Ooh. In the middle of the driving range.
Did you hit the giraffe?
So, of course, it's like, first one to hit the giraffe, let's do it! So, the whole time, like, after we got the driver out of the way, everybody was, like, trying to hit this plastic giraffe that's in the middle of this driving range. It was ridiculous.
Well, they clearly put it in there for that purpose.
Yeah.
To give people something to do.
Right,
you know?
Come on, hit it. Someone hit it.
That poor giraffe.
Yeah.
So did you hit the giraffe?
I came really close. Oh. I didn't hit it right square on.
Did anybody hit the giraffe?
No, not out of our group.
Oh, man.
Really tough.
Is it the fact that it's like really far away or is it like a small target or?
Right. It's a combination of it was a small target and it was about 75 yards out.
That sounds like a pretty good distance.
So,
I mean, I don't know.
It's not too far, but it is enough where you would have to hit a perfect shot to hit it, you know?
Okay.
Because even a little bit of wind will throw your shot off that far.
Okay.
You know? So it was a lot of fun to go out on the range and hit a giraffe. That was really
random. There's giraffes, man.
You know what I really like to do was when we had a driving range out here in Norristown, it was always fun to hit the guy collecting the balls.
Sounds mean. I know they're in that little cart that's like protected.
Yeah, it won't hurt them. Yeah, they're the thing's all caged up and everything.
You know why it's caged up though?
Yeah, because guys like me are trying to hit it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
that's
fun.
Sad. Think about the what that says about our society that they're just
why
like,
it's just a, it's protected. It's fine.
But I'm saying it's protected because they knew that people were inherently evil. And would want to hit the guy driving the cart.
Also just you happenstance too, just in case, you know.
No, it's because you're evil.
Oh, just me? Okay. Fine. No. I will take that.
That's a yes.
That's one of the golfers hitting the hitting the guy.
That's everybody freaking out.
Yeah.
But I mean I admit I would want to try and hit the guy too. I don't think I'd be able to get it there, but
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to really just, like, focus on a target and try and hit it when you're that far out.
And also, the guy in the cart is a moving target, right?
Right, yeah. So
you got to, like, lead him properly. You got to take him to...
Oh, that reminds me, too. Did you watch Holy Moly?
I watched about 10 minutes of it, and I said, oh, I can't stand this at all.
Oh, you were looking really... I thought you were looking forward to it.
I was, but I just couldn't stand the hosts. It was just way too over the top for me. I don't really like American Ninja Warrior either, though.
Okay.
So that explains it. Did you watch Holy Moly?
I watched the first half of it.
Oh, you watch? Oh, wow. You watched a lot of it. And yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was interesting. It is more American Ninja Warrior or more like Wipeout.
Wipeout is a really good
than
comparison.
It is. I mean, golf is in it, but
right.
I didn't realize how much it was like a physical obstacle course that the golfers have to make it through.
Yeah, that's what I said last week, and that's what they're billing it as, is this American Ninja Warrior meets mini golf. But I just couldn't stand just the hokiness of it. Like, the hosts were just, oh, God, it's like something out of Dodgeball.
I think it was supposed exactly what it was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, I know. But
and Rob Riggle is yeah. like, cut from that whole frat pack cloth.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But, yeah, it just wasn't doing it for me.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It was interesting to watch. I probably wouldn't watch it over and over again, but
it was
interesting.
You should be a contestant.
Oh, my God. No, I don't want to fall into a pool.
Why not? You're always complaining how hot it is.
Yes. But I got you there. I would like to do a relaxing dip into a pool.
Oh, not be shoved into it.
Yeah,
by...
not be shoved into it by a, you know, windmill. That was one of the obstacles. Okay, well, you know what? We're talking sports. I think it's a good time to delve into the first batch of topics that do revolve around sports that we want to talk about in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face here in this first part of the show. Now, much to my dismay, we're not actually talking serious golf in the first part of the show. Instead, we're going to talk two different topics in 2 minutes or less in the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed. Let's go. What do you have, Mike?
All right. First up in the two-minute drill, a little bit of hockey news. The NHL.
Hockey?
Yeah, hockey. I know.
What?
The NHL season is officially over as the St. Louis Blues.
We forgot to mention this last week.
Yeah, well, they won the Stanley Cup. Yay, go St. Louis. They defeated the Boston Bruins 4-3. The Hard Fart Series. Yeah, the Hard Fart. Yeah, that's really bad copy by me. I should not have put those two words next to each other.
This is why we don't talk hockey.
No, not at all. The series was a big one for the Blues, despite appearing in the playoffs in all but 9 of their 52 seasons. This is the first championship in the franchise's history. So congratulations to the Blues.
Yeah.
What a big win for them.
Yeah, I do got to admit, it's always nice to see, in my opinion, it's always nice to see a team that's never won or hasn't won in 50 years win one.
Yeah.
I'm always rooting for those teams.
It's about time the Flyers won another one. Speaking of teams that haven't won in a while.
God!
Come on, guys. Get it together. Anyway, you know who else needs to get together? Philadelphia Eagles fans. We need to spend more money, Rich, if we want to beat the New England Patriots and Dallas Cowboys fan bases. According to a new fan engagement study by Emory University Goizueta School of Business Professor Mike Lewis. In his study, he determined that the Eagles fan base is the third best by measuring three key fan engagement factors: spending, social media interaction, and road game attendance. Unsurprisingly, Eagles fans ranked first in road game attendance and fourth in social media interaction, but only 12th in spending on team merchandise and other things. So that really dragged down our collective score to third best overall.
We're broke!
I know. Well, and that's the interesting thing about it is demographics-wise, Dallas and New England have, you know, wealthier communities there than South Philly.
Bastards.
But get those credit cards ready. We're in the top 5 next year.
Yeah, you bastards.
Seriously, go buy a jersey. We got to get in the top 5. We got to get ahead of these Dallas Cowboys at least.
Yeah, come on. Go buy a Wentz jersey. That's a safe bet.
Yeah.
That's always my quandary with buying a jersey, you know?
Yeah, who's going to be on the team next year?
Right.
Because not for long. NFL, not for long.
Yeah, it's almost like you're almost better off to do one of the custom jerseys or something.
I was about to get a Malcolm Jenkins jersey after the Super Bowl, and I didn't because I was feeling cheap. But now they're not restructuring him, so now I don't know what his future with the team is going to be.
Well, hopefully he stays with the team.
I hope so too.
At least for next season, they still need him to be a solid presence in the backfield. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yes.
Enough about the current Eagles. We have to talk about a former person of the Philadelphia Eagles, head coach Andy Reid.
Yeah.
He's been in the news lately. Why? What's up with this?
So, unfortunately, this wasn't something under his control. A clip of a sports radio talk show host named Kevin Kitzman. He's apparently a sports radio host on Kansas City Radio, and he took the best way I can describe this is just an out-of-line shot at Andy Reid. I guess they were talking about the future of the team with the Chiefs coming up for this season, and he was very highly critical of Andy Reid, and he kind of goes out of his way to make a very deep personal diss, and you're gonna know what we're talking about here.
That sounds ugly.
Yeah, Mike is gonna know exactly what we're talking about when we play the audio. So
yeah.
Here is the clip that's turned everybody's heads to Kansas City.
Andy Reid does not have a great record of fixing players. He doesn't. Discipline is not his thing. It did not work out particularly well in his family life, and that needs to be added to this. As we're talking about the Chiefs, he wasn't real great at that either. He's had a lot of things go bad on him, family and players. He is not good at fixing people. He is not good at discipline. That is not his strength. His strength is designing football plays.
All right. Would you like to explain everybody why this makes it much more personal?
That is particularly horrific. Andy Reid had a lot of personal trouble with his family life. I believe his son passed away when he was in Philadelphia.
Yep. Drug overdose.
So to say that he's not good at fixing people, I mean, first off, without getting too serious here, you can't fix somebody that has a personal problem like that. Okay? Those types of demons, those addictions, it's not something you can just, you know, grab somebody and say, hey,
Don't
do that. You know,
that's not how this works.
I don't want to verge on getting too serious here, but I hope people understand the gravity of what this radio host is implying. You know, that he somehow failed his children by not being able to fix something that is deeply troubling in their personal lives.
Yeah.
You know, so that I really want to use some bad words towards this dude that we normally don't say on the show. And I'm holding myself back because that was a seriously effed up statement.
Yep.
By that dude. So that is the background there. This is what Andy Reid went through here in Philadelphia. And one of the reasons why he struggled his last few years in Philadelphia, because, you know, admittedly, his mind wasn't on the game because, you know, there were other larger issues than football.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. And we sort of ran him out of town. I don't think we were as callous as that at that time.
No.
I hope we weren't.
I don't think so.
The Philadelphia
either.
Fan base, not me and you specifically. But so that is what he's referring to, about not being able to fix people. And I disagree, because I think that Andy did a good job. To turn back to football, I think he did a good job with player discipline when he was with the Eagles. You know, players like Jeremiah Trotter and Hugh Douglas, they wanted big exorbitant contracts, and he stood his ground and he said, no, we're not going to jeopardize the team to pay you guys exorbitant amounts of monies. And guess what? Both those players came back to the Eagles because Andy Reid was such a good coach that their big paydays in other franchises didn't work out as well for them as it did here in Philadelphia. Jeremiah Trotter and Hugh Douglas both came back to the team. We saw what happened with T.O., and we can all agree now in hindsight that maybe it was for the best that we got rid of a player that was that destructive to the locker room. So to say that Andy Reid doesn't do a good job of disciplining players is just, I think, a little off the mark, because he always did a good job of curtailing these personalities and making sure he had a high character team. You know, what we talk about now with Doug Peterson wanting high character players, that's not new. He comes from the Andy Reid school of thought, and the Andy Reid school of thought is high character, high quality individuals that will make that locker room a strong factor in the team's success. So I don't know what this guy is even talking about.
Yeah. He tried to sort of defend his position.
There's
here.
No defending it. This is not to mention that Andy Reid's the best thing that happened to your franchise in the past decade.
Yeah, with Kansas City.
There's no defending this. I'll let you have a bit because I've been rambling.
Right. So here's what Kevin Kitzman tried to defend on Twitter. On Twitter, he wrote, quote, I was talking about the owner and Andy Reid's record of fixing players. I referenced the drug addiction and convictions for dealing drugs because when Reed hired his kids to work for his football teams, it was no longer a private matter then. I did not mean to blame a parent for the death of their child in these circumstances. That is unthinkable and reprehensible. The clip never mentioned or discussed this, and that thought never entered my mind. That would be despicable. So he tried to backpedal a little bit.
If you knew it was that reprehensible, the words wouldn't have left your mouth. You wouldn't have brought family into it. Right? Yeah. Because he says it was no longer a personal matter. Then why bring up the family? Why didn't he just say staff?
Right.
Why didn't he say staffing decisions?
The problem is if you're
that aware about the power of the words, then you're that aware to know the optics of them as well.
The problem is he used the F word, the family.
Yeah.
That makes it a specific mentioning of Andy Reid's past with the Eagles when his son died. That's the real main transgression.
Yeah.
And for him to try and backpedal it was a public matter because he was staff and all that stuff. It's just not good. It's not good for a sports talk show host.
So I just want to ask a clarifying question. What is it that brought about this? What exactly is it that he feels Andy Reid's not doing enough of disciplining players?
I guess with the whole Kareem Hunt now, Tyreek Hill. Yeah, it's one thing after another now with the Chiefs.
Look, you can discipline people, but they're still going to do what they're going to do. You know, no amount of discipline is going to stop people from doing. They're free individuals with a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know,
and young.
And young, too. They're young. They've always had, you know, they've always been in the spotlight because I'm sure they were famous in their college days, too. But I just want to point out, if this is such a big problem, don't you think we would have seen it reflected in the records that Andy Reid has had with the team? So might I remind you that the 2 years before Andy Reid joined the Kansas City Chiefs, they were 7-9 and 2-14. And then he joined the Chiefs, and this is the string they've been on. 11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6, 12-4.
All winning records.
They have made it to the playoffs the past 5 out of 6 years. So clearly he's doing a really bad job of disciplining players and keeping that team, because an undisciplined team could never go 12-4 in two of the three past seasons. I think this person dislikes it. We've seen it. We know. We've seen it. Somebody has a personal vendetta against a coach, and they just look for any sort of argument to poke holes in it and to take that person down a peg, because it's not backed up with the statistics. It's not.
Yeah. This definitely made the wire the past couple of days. And unfortunately, whether or not Keatsman thinks he did something right or wrong, unfortunately, the public has spoken. And the radio station felt the pressure because he's been taken off air immediately following these comments. So whether or not he feels justified or if he does feel sorry about making the comments, doesn't matter now. He's off the air. And I think that's the right call, because that was just a low blow. It was just out of the line shot.
Oh, yeah.
At Andy Reid.
I mean, you can hear, you know, from my reaction, I thought it was appalling.
Yeah.
Bringing that up. You know,
it has no place when you're talking, you know, football and whether or not, you know, someone's good at their job, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, first off,
given everything that we know, like the history of it, you know?
Yeah. You know what? Even if it wasn't somebody that had their family history in the press the last 12 years, you know, that's still kind of a shady thing to do for anybody. Even if it was like the Rams head coach, that young guy.
What's his name?
Yeah. Sean McVay.
Right.
Even if it was him, like, no, that's still shady to try and bring up somebody's personal family matters, you know?
Right.
It's not right. So I'm glad that the radio station in Kansas City made the right call here to take this guy off the air, because it was just a really low blow. And, you know, for Andy Reid may have not gotten the job done for us here with the Eagles, but, you know, it was a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we were proud to be Eagles fans.
Absolutely. Other than Doug Peterson.
Other than Doug Peterson,
Andy Reid
yeah.
is the best head coach the Eagles have ever had.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. Yep. Don't Dick Vermeil me.
That's
Sounds like a weird phrase.
I know.
Like, that actually is code for something.
Well, because every time, and who's the other one? Buddy Ryan.
No, not Buddy Ryan.
Oh, some people in my family love Buddy Ryan because he was tough. Okay, what games did he win? None.
just the ones against the Cowboys. That's right, exactly. That's all that mattered.
So don't give me Dick Vermeil and Buddy Ryan. Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, two best coaches we've ever had.
All right, now we're going to go from football to baseball because, again, some more unsettling news coming out of the baseball world here. And this is something I think we talk about once every year. It always happens.
Well, we have to because it keeps happening.
Yeah. A woman was hit with a foul ball at a game at Dodger Stadium, and she was hospitalized. So this was a pretty substantial hit. Also, I think a couple weeks ago, a little girl was hit, too.
Yeah, and it just every year this happens. And yeah. We got to talk about it. Somebody gets hit, and I think it was like a year or two ago. Somebody actually died from a foul ball. An older woman died a few days later in the hospital after being hit with a baseball.
Yeah,
it wasn't like instantaneous,
right?
But you know, directly related. But it raises the question once again about the safety netting in baseball stadiums. Dodger CEO and president Stan Kasten has announced that the team will extend the safety netting in their stadium beyond the dugouts, almost to the foul poles, which is something that a few other teams have been doing as well. Right now, all the teams have the safety netting that extends to the end of each dugout, but there's been a cry recently, an outpouring of, you know, I don't want to say backlash, but an outpouring of support for extending the netting, given the recent events with, you know, this person getting hit and the small child getting hit a few weeks ago. Teams like the Nationals, the Rangers, and the White Sox will be joining the Dodgers in extending the netting to or almost to the foul poles, while the Tigers already have the netting that extends well past the dugouts. So, Rich, we have to ask again. What do you think? Should this become standard across the league? Should the safety netting go all the way down the foul line?
Yes.
It seems like a simple answer, right?
Yeah.
What is taking the majority of major league teams so long to get on this trend?
Because that's not the way it used to be. Unfortunately, a lot of the problems can be boiled down to this in Major League Baseball.
I hope people don't think you're just being, reductionist or whatever, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That is the thing with these legacy sports like specifically baseball and golf, is that they don't change. They're like the Titanic. They can't change course very quickly.
Yeah. But the problem with baseball is that now you have to get used to... I know this is going to sound kind of millennial, but you have to get used now to a 21st century audience that is checking their phones and is ordering food and is having, you know, beers and talking to, you know, the people around them and all this stuff. See, it used to be when you went to a baseball stadium and you got those kind of seats where you're in the infield, you were there to catch a ball. So yeah. You were actively paying attention to the game. The kids would bring their gloves, you know, kids, everybody was looking out for the chance to catch a foul ball.
Right.
Now you have this audience, this 21st century audience, where they don't do that. They're kind of, it's more of like a picnic now, where, you know, they're kind of happenstance to be watching the game.
Right.
And unfortunately, what happens is when you get this kind of an audience into that point of the stadium, they're not paying attention to whether or not a foul ball is coming their way, and now. When you have, and then on top of that, you're adding the fact that these major league pitchers throw 100, 103, 110 miles per hour fastballs.
Yeah,
it strikes one of these guys in the head. That's it. You got to take them to the hospital.
You're
talking about immediate concussion.
I agree that I think they do need to update it for a 21st century audience. But I also think that, I mean, that aside, it's, you know, what if people are paying attention, but like. A parent has to turn to a child to tend to something, you know, that, you know, the child dropped a hot dog or whatever. You know what I mean? You can't just expect people to watch, you know, 100% of the time. There's going to be moments where other things are happening.
Yeah.
And you just can't account for all the variables. So you should err on the side of caution.
Right.
And especially since the game is much faster and much stronger. You know, people always say, oh, back in the old days, back in the old days, back in the old days. But I highly doubt back in the old days they were throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Yeah, probably not that fast.
And I doubt that people were hitting it as hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of science. People were smaller, they were slower, they weren't as strong. I mean, not to go back to football, but that's my area of expertise. People always talk about how tough the players were. Yes, but the biggest player at the time was, you know, 240. Now you got 310-pound linemen that run like gazelles. It's a different era, and it's a different set of measurables. And these sluggers that play the game now are crushing these balls at unbelievable speeds. I would love to see if there's some sort of statistical breakdown of it, but I would have to imagine that the game is faster and rougher and stronger than it's ever been. And so you have to adapt to those new variables. If they're pitching faster, if they're hitting harder, you have to adapt to that.
And you have to protect, you know, the people that come to see the game.
Right, or else people won't buy those seats. I'll tell you, I'm personally terrified of sitting in those seats. Because I don't have the reflexes. Even if I am paying attention, I'm going to die. I wear glasses. I'm not about to get hit in the face and get shards of glass in my eyes.
Yeah.
I had good seats one time. I was, you know, right by, I forget which dugout it was, but I was like, you know, I think it was like 10 or 11 rows away from, you know, the field there. And the whole time I was sitting there, I was like, oh my God, if a foul ball comes my way, I don't have a glove. I don't have anything. I don't want to get hit. You know, I was actively thinking that, like, oh my God, every time a foul ball came by, and then you see whiz, you know, into another section, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I would have the reflexes to catch that.
Well,
you know?
Well, see, that's good. That's good that you recognize that, because someone like you should be getting, you know, the seats where the balls aren't probably coming to them.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, I think you get, you know, because baseball is kind of a big family activity,
right,
you want to bring
the
kids.
But it's the kids, it's the older people, it's the everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people don't pay attention to where they're sitting, you know, when they buy the tickets. They don't pay attention to, you know, where they're sitting in terms of relations of where possible balls are going.
It should be like SeaWorld. This is the splash zone.
Well, yeah.
This is the get cracked in the head zone.
This is, yeah. I mean, baseball has like a disclaimer or something when you do purchase those tickets, but
are people paying attention?
Right.
When's the last time you've read any disclaimers when you click through all the terms and agreements and conditions for software or something? You
right.
know?
Obviously, it's not getting through to people. And you know what? I should classify my statements again. Even if you are paying attention, maybe you don't. Maybe you just don't see the ball coming your way.
They're really fast.
You know.
And it's a little tiny white ball.
Right.
It's not like a giant orange basketball.
Right.
And
it could be, you know, a bright sunny day. You're not seeing it coming your way.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's just too many variables. It's one of the most dangerous spectator sports, I think.
Yeah.
All the other sports are more dangerous to play, but baseball is dangerous to watch. Every year we have multiple people get hit in the head with really fast balls, need to be hospitalized. Children, elderly people. People that stop to take a drink of their beer, you know?
It's dangerous. You
got to account for all that. Those are your paying fans. You got to take care of them. I know there's going to be people that say, oh, but my game, they're changing the game. Shut up.
That's simple.
Either evolve with the times or just grumble in your own area, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the safety of the fan base and the audience.
Yeah.
You know, safety should come before everything.
Right. And, you know, the only other thing I can think of that would be on the same relation as this would be hockey, actually, because hockey had a couple cases where the puck was going in the stands. And
right.
That was another one that hit a little girl. And it was like, whoa, oh my God. All right,
yeah.
We need to review this.
Right. It's moments like that where it's like, all right, you know, it's great that you get to keep your souvenir, but what's the cost?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want somebody to die at your sporting events. And I don't want to sound alarmist, but yeah, it hits you the wrong way.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
It's a flying piece of hard plastic, or in the baseball case, a solid piece of bound leather.
Yep.
That's rocketing off the bat at 100 miles an hour. If you think you're tough enough and you can handle it, stand in front of a pitching machine. Just let it crack you in the head.
Yeah, like Happy Gilmore.
Put your money where your mouth is. Take a shot right to the eye.
But unfortunately, I think this is a topic we're going to keep revisiting every year, because it seems like, it seems like there's increments that is done to combat this, but it's never quite
enough to get the job done.
I want to see more teams jump on the bandwagon and start extending that safety netting.
Yeah, I would be in favor of that as well. So, baseball, come on, get those nets up and protect your audiences. But for our audience, it means we have to wrap up the sports sampler.
Yeah, how do we protect them from us?
Yeah, right. But don't go anywhere, because we got plenty more shows still to come. We got the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have a lot more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
A scuba diver in Florida is suing a utility company after he was sucked into a quarter mile long pipe that took him inside a nuclear power plant.
No, you don't get to sue the utility company for that. You're just stupid.
Christopher Leakin said he was scuba diving off the coast of Hutchinson Island when he went down to investigate three large shadows underneath a yellow buoy.
Yellow, isn't it like a warning color?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. There are radioactive symbols everywhere.
I thought it meant go closer.
Yeah. Okay, that's what radioactivity means.
This must be like the place where they take in the water to put in the cooling towers.
Probably.
He could have been like the Hulk.
Swimming Hulk.
Do you think Hulk is afraid of water? He's all muscle. I don't think he could swim.
Yeah, I don't know. Has the Hulk ever swam?
Avengers 3. Hulk takes swimming lessons. Black Widow's like, come on, you can do it, Hulk.
Hulk swim!
Hulk drown!
Hulk drown!
Hulk drown!
He uses his last breath.
Oh my god.
Hulk drown.
Hulk drown. Maybe he gets sucked back into the nuclear power plant.
Double Hulk?
Double Hulk, yeah.
Hulkception?
Hulk no understand plot of movie.
Hulk have existential crisis about concept of reality. And then Hulk drown?
Best line of dialogue Hulk has ever had.
Hulk not know sound effect.
Hulk want to know if top fall over.
Oh, man. Hulkception.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're moving right along into the second part of our show, where we got some movie, TV, and video game news coming your way in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
I'm so sick of these people. You know. Oh.
Whoa.
Yes.
All right.
We're kicking it off with a out-of-context sound clip from Stephen A. Smith. Boy, you can always count on him to have some ridiculous reactions.
Yikes. What was he talking about there?
I'm so sick of these people. You know? Ooh!
I love just that. That just scream at the end. I don't know where did he pull that one from?
I'm so sick of these people. You know? Ooh!
I like how it wavers in the middle. It's like a ooh.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's something that we've all said at one point, you know, whenever our favorite sports team does something really stupid.
I'm so sick of these people. You know? Ooh!
I like how he's you can hear the breakdown in his mental processing where he's like, I'm so sick of these people, and then he goes, you know. And then he just
lets out.
He
just
screams, because he gets to the point where it's like, you know, ooh, and then he screams.
He's so angry he can't have like a thought.
He can't string it together.
You know what? I just realized something we can do with my new laptop.
What?
Let's see the audio levels, because I have it. It lights up my keyboard in the back of the screen.
Right.
So let's see Stephen A. Smith. You know, we'll play for the audio. But Mike, give us a view on how red it gets when we play the audio. All right, let's do it.
I'm so sick of these people. You know, ooh,
it actually stays green.
On the back, it's green. On the front here, it went red for like the first couple of segments of the frequencies. So,
I guess
it is more of a high pitch.
I guess because it's high, yeah.
Like it isn't from the gut. It's like ooh.
It's not a guttural like animal roar. It's more of like a schoolgirl roar.
Yeah, a frustrated girl roar that needs to be reconciled.
I'm so sick of these people. You know, ooh.
It's fun. You know what? So watching it on the back of the computer is a much different experience than watching the keys, because I was watching the back and it just stays green, right? And it's like bouncing up and down a little bit. But the keys, you're right. There's like this big peak on the left side of the keyboard.
Yeah, which is one of the higher frequencies.
That's the higher register, I guess. Yeah.
So that's there you funny. Go. Thank you, Stephen A. Smith, for that.
That's a laser light show over here.
For that out of context sound clip, which is what we do here on the Chris Mutual Podcast. You know, you say something wacky, we're gonna isolate it and have it for all eternity. So, congratulations.
I'm so sick of these people. You know? Ooh!
Ooh! I love that. You know? Ooh! Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the complete breakdown there.
Right. So, thank you.
We should save that to play when we get frustrated with something.
Oh, I'm going to definitely isolate this and put this on my soundboard. So, there you go. Thank you, Stephen A. Smith, for that random outburst. Talking about NBA, he really gets upset over the NBA stuff. That's when that's also where we had the other previous clip where he was talking as the 5-year old through the Snapchat filter. Remember that? Yeah. We had that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
yeah. So NBA really gets him going. All right. So now, speaking of getting things going, it's time for the thing that gets Mike going, because Mike loves to let us know what's coming up this weekend with movies, TV, and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I'm calling you out. I'm so sick of these people. You know? Ooh!
So, what will make you go, ooh?
Well, I don't know if it's making me go, ooh, but maybe the person, the main character in this film is sick of these people. Yesterday comes to theaters, a new comedy coming to theaters. Oh boy, it's getting late. A new comedy coming to theaters this week. It's about a man who wakes up one day to find himself in an alternate timeline in which he is the only person on Earth who remembers the Beatles.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of previews for
this. It's a very unique premise. The movie, directed by none other than Danny Boyle, who we just discussed last week, it's not going to win any Oscars. It's only, you know, got middling reviews on Metacritic. But it still has a really unique and lighthearted twist to the whole thing. So maybe if you're looking for something a little bit lighthearted, it's worth the watch. So go check it out. Yesterday, hitting theaters this week. In television, we have something that's going to make your head explode. What just happened is what everyone will be shouting after watching this show by the same title premiering Sunday on Fox at 9:30 p.m. It is the pinnacle of human meta-ness. It is a spoof of television after shows like The Talking Dead about a fictional sci-fi show based on a fictional book. Even the trailers are set up in character as if the show and the books mentioned are real. It's basically like Fox decided to make an entire series off of that one Robert Downey Jr. line from Tropic Thunder where he says, "I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude."
Okay. So
you know the line that I'm talking about?
So this is three levels of meta?
It is. So it is a show that is a parody of the after shows like The Talking Dead. And it is an after show about a fictitious sci-fi series based on a fictitious book. It's really weird.
Yeah, so you really have to think about it.
I mean, it's a summer premiere, so it's probably not going to go anywhere. But I think I might want to check out at least the first episode to see how they're going to pull this off. So anyway, that is
okay.
What just happened this week on Fox. Can't even remember Sunday on Fox. God, I'm not on my game this week.
Come on, video games,
the sinking ship comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. It is an open-world Lovecraftian horror mystery game. Players take the role of a private investigator called to a mysterious town by a person suffering from visions. Quests and story elements are impacted by how observant players are when gathering clues and investigating evidence.
Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Mike wrote down on the outline, instead of quests, Q-U-E-S-T-S, quests, Q-U-E-S-S, which does quests. Look like it should be a word.
It does. Well, it didn't come up in spell check, so
Q-U-E-S-S.
It must be.
Q-U-E-S-S. It's like a question guess.
It's a quest.
Right.
I quest. It must be a real word. It doesn't come up in spell check. You know, Google Drive, you failed me. You failed me, Google Drive.
Yeah.
So many typos that I can't even read this trash copy. So, quests and story elements are impacted.
The French champagne.
I do.
Has always been celebrated for its excellence.
I wrote the copy, and I feel like I'm drunk reading this.
I'm Orson Welles, the quest of the French excellence. Oh, yes. The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Actually, you were right in Orson Welles.
That's exactly
what
it was.
That's what you were doing.
That's the excuse I'm going with.
Right. You were talking about French excellence with your quest.
I'll tell you what, though. You don't want to be drunk when you're playing this game because all of the story elements are impacted by how observant you are when gathering clues and investigating evidence. So everything you do during the missions impacts the story. It has generally average to above average reviews, with many critics praising the world building and unique investigative elements, but taking issue with technical problems and repetitive gameplay. So if you feel like you want a more story-driven, world-building type game, go check it out. That's The Sinking Ship, which releases on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this week. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself!
Yeah, there you go. Mike finished strong.
I'm Orson Welles now.
That's what matters. Mike finished strong.
That's right.
He used the spirit of Orson Welles to mess up and then get back on top of your form.
I channel my inner Orson Welles. And you know what? Maybe somebody else will be coming out on top at the end of the stretch because we have an update on Disney Marvel's biggest film, Endgame.
Yes, that's right. They're making headlines again with Endgame.
That's right.
Yep. In case you didn't see it five different times, you can now see it again, re-released in theaters.
That's right. Well, this is a little strange because it's not really out of theaters yet, but that's right. Disney Marvel is planning on re-releasing Endgame with deleted scenes, a sneak peek of Spider-Man Far From Home, a new intro by the filmmakers talking about the film, I guess, and apparently a few post-credits tidbits. So the big question here is this fair or foul that Marvel is re-releasing Endgame to try and topple Avatar's box office leading numbers. A lot of people are saying that this is, you know, a ploy to get that top spot.
It absolutely is.
I mean, it absolutely is. They want to finish.
That's not a question.
It really isn't. Everybody knows they want to finish strong. They want to come out with one last push before Spider-Man and Lion King come into theaters in July, which obviously is going to suck up all of the remaining theaters that are showing Endgame. So I guess the question is, I mean, what do you think of re-releasing a film this close to its initial launch while it's still during its first theatrical release?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair game.
You think it's fair game?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be erring on the side of, you know, crying foul, but
no, I mean, to be honest with you, it doesn't surprise me Disney's going to try and do this. So, you know,
it's whatever.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you what, I do like the fact that they're trying to make it different with the special content.
Yeah.
Because, boy, man, if 3 hours of Marvel isn't enough, let's crank it up to four.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Well, if you really love your Avengers, man, you know, now's your chance.
Yeah.
4 hours of it.
Right.
I don't know if it's 4 hours, but it's going to be long.
I think the problem, the interesting problem is going to be, is there anybody that still hasn't seen this movie yet?
Yeah, and I think that's the real issue and why. So I've been following it. You know, we've had updates occasionally since it came out in April about its box office totals, and I've been following it to see, you know, where it's been tracking.
Let me rephrase what I said. Not because obviously some people are going to be anti-Marvel and never going to see it. But
people who want to see it.
Who hasn't seen Endgame but still would want to see it?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That's really kind of the question mark.
Yeah, and the point that I was getting to is that because I've been following the box office news, I've been reading up on a lot of it, and there's this one metric that people follow that are into the box office industry, I guess, I don't know. They talk about how much a film carries over from week to week, and Endgame has been dropping off pretty precipitously after the first few weeks, meaning it's retaining less and less of its audience at a faster pace than other movies. And I think the issue is because it had such a huge opening weekend. I mean, that everybody saw it. So there's less of a reason for it to, you know, maintain its audiences as we get further and further from release. You know, I'm saying that, but Captain Marvel is still in theaters. So I'm sure Endgame will hang around, but a lot of people are predicting it wouldn't be able to break Avatar's record without this last push. And before people get all up in arms about, you know, Disney re-releasing Endgame and it's cheating or whatever, I agree with you. I think it's fair because both Titanic and Avatar re-released. Titanic re-released in 3D, and Avatar, I don't even know why Avatar re-released.
Just to stroke James Cameron's ego.
Probably. But the point is, both of those re-released, and both of those movies' box office totals do account for those re-releases. If you look at it, it's several articles do report that both of those movies include those numbers. So it's not unprecedented. And I also don't think that you can get away with saying it should be listed as a separate movie, because it's still during its initial theatrical run. So it's more like they're modifying it, updating it, rather than re-releasing it.
Exclusive edition.
Yeah. Well, it's like how you update, you know, a video game or software.
Game of the year edition. Yeah.
It's Endgame 1.1.
Yeah.
That's all it is, you know? Are you going to go see it again, Rich?
No. I saw it already, I think, what, two or three times. That's enough.
Yeah, I've seen it three times. I would love to see it again, but I just can't. I just can't sit through another 3.5 hours. You know, I've already done it three times.
Yeah.
So I'd love to, but there's other movies out there that people need to go see, one of which I had the opportunity to see just this past weekend. Very excited about it. Toy Story 4, of course.
Oh, yes. You're a big Pixar fan.
I am a big Pixar fan, and it's funny. We're going from one Disney studio to another Disney studio.
Yeah.
In case you haven't caught a trend here, Disney owns movies.
Yes.
Just movies in general. They
Dear
own
God,
them.
Help us.
But, you know, when they're putting out stuff like Endgame and Toy Story in the same, you know, quarter of the year, it doesn't get much better than that. Toy Story 4 was a movie that I was a little apprehensive going into. Toy Story 3 ended, for my money, perfectly. Yeah. You know, it hits you right in the feels. You get choked up. It's a movie we all grew up with. We were around the same age as Andy. When you watch Toy Story 3, you're like, I can super relate to that, you know? So I was a little worried going into Toy Story 4. Would it have the same emotional weight to it? And I can say this. While I don't think it hit the high watermark of Toy Story 3, I still think that it was an incredible movie and well worth pursuing this sequel for Pixar. It was one of the more somber Toy Stories. It was a little serious. It got a little existential there. There were some strange horror elements even, because if you've seen any of the trailers, you know they go to an antique store that has creepy marionette dolls, which I thought, I'm like, I don't know how kids are going to take to this because they were really creepy looking. But it was definitely a different tone for Toy Story. You know, it had always been about what the toys can do for their kids. And this movie was different.
So is Andy even in this?
Andy's not in it at all. This is, it's interesting that you bring up Andy, because it's always been about Woody and Buzz and Andy and those three central figures. Andy's been more of like an omniscient, you know, abstract theme concept or whatever. This movie's really about one particular person. It's about Woody. They've all been about Woody, but this is really laser focused in on Woody and his personal journey. And I would argue, without trying to spoil too much, that it's really wrapping up that character arc that's been laid out in these four movies for Woody. I'm not going to say how it ends or, you know, what.
No, this is spoiler free.
Yeah, I'm trying to be as spoiler free as possible. But I do think that it gives you a compelling ending to Woody's character arc. And that while it doesn't hit the same emotional tones as perhaps Toy Story 3, it still does get emotional at the end, if that's something that you find, you know, intriguing about these movies. It definitely does, you know, tug on the heartstrings a little bit, but for different reasons. One of the things that Pixar's always been able to do is done a really good job with making characters and stories that you can relate to. I thought they've always been excellent with relatability. And once again, they have a story that is super relatable about, you know, characters questioning who they are and what they're meant to do and what their purpose is. And the movie, like I said, much more somber than other Toy Stories, but really, really good because of it. So overall, fantastic movie. Not as good as Toy Story 3.
Yeah, where would you rank this in terms of the entire series?
In terms of the entire series?
Give us the ranking from 1 to 4. What would be your...
Oh my gosh. All right, so this is like a near impossible task. I just rewatched Toy Story 3 before Toy Story 4, so they're both fresh in my head. Toy Story 3 is still, I think, the best. You know, I get chills and got choked up when watching it in theaters. And even now, I think it's like a decade later, you watch that ending scene and you're just like, oh, Andy, Woody, Buzz, Toy Story. It just hits you still full force. And then I think it's got to be probably Toy Story 2. Really like Toy Story 2. And then 4 and then 1. I know people will be like, oh, Toy Story 1 last.
Well, yeah, what? The original? You're going to put that all the way dead last?
You know what it is? It might be a recency bias, but I haven't seen the original Toy Story in a long time. But, you know, there may have been a time where I would have placed it higher. But I'm looking for something different in movies now, you know. And Pixar does a really good job of growing with its audience, I think. The first Toy Story was a kids' film for kids. It had a much more, you know, action, comedy-oriented story. In Toy Story 2, you're a little bit older, and you're dealing with issues of separation, and you're dealing with issues of abandonment. Toy Story 3, when it comes out, the people who grew up with the original one are now the same age as Andy. They're getting ready to go off to college, or they're already in college like I was. And it's that idea of, you know, giving up or putting aside the childish things and moving on. And so they do a really good job of resonating with, you know, that core audience that they've been following since 95. So at this point in my life, and this could change next year or 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, but at this point in my life, yeah, I think Toy Story 3 is the best, and Toy Story 1 is as far removed from where I am mentally and emotionally. I just got like really deep there.
Let's psychoanalyze Mike right now.
Yeah, let's psychoanalyze me. Get the couch out. Get your little notepad. No, but I mean, like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, it is a you can't separate the two things. The fact that our generation in particular, you know, have grown up alongside Andy and the franchise. I don't think Pixar is completely oblivious to that fact. And they're gearing their movies towards, you know, I don't think I'm off base with saying that.
No, I don't think so either.
So you get what I'm saying. Like, in terms of mentally where you are, it's really far away from where you started in 95 with the series. Okay. That's how I feel. Since you brought it up, do you disagree? Do you think Toy Story 1
Well, I haven't, one seen, is, I haven't seen the fourth one.
Right, but I mean the three that you have seen.
The three that I have seen...
Because you seem very shocked, so I want to know, as somebody who doesn't watch a lot of animation...
Right. Between the three movies, I didn't really like the second one, to be honest with you. The second one was like, eh.
Okay.
I wasn't blown away by the second one. The first one, I was like, oh, this is a really cool story.
Right.
And it was great for all audiences. And like you said, the third one was
that's
such an emotional hit.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's... So in my opinion, I think you have to put one and three at the top. Two, I don't know. I don't know why. Two never...
You know what two does it for me is that whole Jesse's song bit.
Yeah.
That didn't jive with you?
No, I didn't really.
I felt so bad for her.
I didn't think it was that...
Okay.
Catch, you know, eye catching, you know.
Right, fair enough.
So I always put two on a pedestal lower.
Okay, it's just interesting, like our generation's obsession with Toy Story.
Yeah,
because it is the animated film we grew up with.
Yeah,
and it created CGI.
I mean, it created.
They'd never done animated films like that.
Modern animation,
before the first Toy Story. There are people that say, "Oh, how dare they?" Whatever, you know, and. Everybody likes a different style, but you have to recognize it for what it did. Yeah. So, there you go. My best spoiler-free review and weird psychoanalytical analysis of the Toy Story franchise.
There you go. Perfect.
Who says that we can't be educational as well? Now we're going to dumb it way down as we get super upset and annoyed at this next story, Rich.
That's right. We got to talk about The Office.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
That's right. Why not?
Toy Story is near and dear to us, as is The Office, and this story is going to upset a lot of people. Netflix officially announces that The Office will be leaving the streaming service in January 2021.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you feel about this? I mean, just gut reaction. I mean, The Office, such a big franchise.
Well, I'm not surprised. This is another one, like the Disney story. I'm not surprised, because you could see the writing on the wall the moment NBC was announcing that they were looking into their own streaming service with Comcast and Universal and all that stuff. You knew it was... I personally just thought it was the next logical step that they were going to start taking away their most popular shows from Netflix.
And that does sort of dull the impact a little bit. I mean, there were rumors of this last year that The Office was going to leave, and I remember Netflix was like, no, it's still around. But that should have been the first warning shot. Like,
it's happening.
There's clearly talks that it's going to happen. And this is just confirms what has been brewing for a while. This departure of NBC shows. I hate to break it to you. You better get your rewatches of Parks and Rec and all the other NBC shows on, because I guarantee you that once The Office goes, they're all going to follow quickly after.
Yep.
It makes sense, though. You want your heavy hitters on your own streaming service. Well, you want NBC to be like, hey, you want to binge watch The Office for the sixth time? Come to NBC streaming.
Well, that's my follow-up question is, how segregated does each streaming service become now? Because now NBC's got they're going to launch their own thing. CBS already has their own.
CBS All Access, yep. You got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon.
Right. Before you know it, we're paying $100 a month in all these subscription packages.
Well, it's like, you know, the streaming services first sprung up to combat the rising cable costs.
Yep.
You know, cut the cord, go all streaming. We're actually full circle now. It might be cheaper to go with cable and a basic television package than to get all the streaming services.
Yeah, that's
right. You used to be able to get everything with Hulu, Netflix, and HBO. It was like all you really needed.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to get everything, you need, you know, NBC, CBS, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, HBO. You need, you know, either Slingbox or PlayStation View or YouTube TV or Hulu Live. Yeah. And it's becoming to the point where you need like 12 different apps to get the same shows that you could watch just with a regular cable subscription. You know, just the number of apps you need, the number of devices you need, the number of services you need to subscribe to, another password and another email address. It's pissing me off, Rich.
Yeah, it's like we've kind of gone back for full circle, you know?
Yeah.
We had all these streaming services to get away from cable, but now with all these apps and everything, yeah, it might end up being better to go back to cable.
You know, I love it when I can log on to a website and be like, you want to sign in with Comcast and watch the shows? And I'm like, yeah, sure. It's easier now. It's easier now when you have a cable subscription. As weird as that sounds, you know?
Yeah.
That sucks because I don't like the way that the cable providers and the ISPs handle their business. I would much rather go all through streaming services, but it's become really difficult to do that now. I'm sure it's still possible, but man, I tell you, the cost and the number of apps and logins you need is becoming ridiculous. What's the solution, though? You know, everybody was hoping Apple was going to do a la carte, you know, pay what you want for each channel. That didn't work out.
Nope.
Nobody signed on for it because there's more money to be made in streaming. And now that everybody's caught wind of it, I wouldn't be surprised in, you know, a few years from now where there's a separate app for each of the major broadcast networks. You know, AMC is going to try and follow this at some point. You know, TNT and TBS are going to want to follow this at some point. It's going to get to the point where each television station that we know about now is going to have its own app. I'm pretty sure most of them already do, but at what point do they start charging for it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. When are they all going to start charging for
and
it?
And you're also forgetting the black market aspect of this, because sooner or later, the moment that this gets to be ridiculous and people can't do streaming and they can't go back to cable,
yeah,
they're gonna start pirating once again. You're going to see pirating rates go up through the roof once again.
You're absolutely right. Every time. It's funny. Every time that something like this happens, there is a spike. I remember when Hulu had an issue with Fox shows, it was on an 8-day delay, which is stupid because you're basically missing 2 weeks. You're missing the week it airs, and you have to wait, you know, a week plus. So
right.
You're missing two episodes, basically, to watch the latest episode on Hulu. There was a spike in pirating of shows like House and Hell's Kitchen. And they're not even that they weren't even that popular at the time.
Right.
But there was a huge spike in them because people wanted the content, they wanted it the way they wanted it, and they wanted it now. They wanted to stay up to date on it. And at the risk of sounding like an Apple fanboy, you know what the quickest way to kill pirating is? Make it easy. Let them buy it, stream it, whatever, easily.
Yep.
iTunes killed Napster single-handedly. You know, and Spotify is killing iTunes single-handedly because it's easier.
Yep. The moment you make it too difficult to jump through all the hoops to get the subscriptions that you want, it's going to go bad. It's going to go bad real fast.
So if I have to download an app for every major cable and broadcast network, yeah, I'm going to go my shady Chinese websites and watch the videos at 480p, you know, because it's easier.
Yeah. And free.
And free. Yeah, so you want to kill the pirating, you want to keep your viewers watching your content, and you want to keep making money off of your advertising, make it easy.
Yep, but I'm having a bad feeling that this is the start of a new splintering of streaming services.
It's a dangerous new precedent.
Yeah, and I think if it goes too bonkers too fast, I think you're going to see that spike in pirating and torrenting and all that stuff, because people aren't going to do it, you know.
Yeah.
The moment we get up to like 10 different subscriptions that you're going to have to buy,
it's getting close. It's getting close.
Yeah, it is.
I already have Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, HBO, and yeah, I think I have four or five already.
And you're going to need NBC, when The Office splits.
I haven't done CBS because there's just nothing there that interests me, but NBC, I mean, that's, I like NBC better than CBS, but yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, that might be the future of streaming. So, all you streaming providers, take note. You better make things easier, because I sense a disturbance among the streaming forces.
Oh.
So, but there you go. That's what we have for you this week in the entertainment entree. But we still got one more portion of the show still to come. The non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got some weird stories that you're going to need to hear. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah,
he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is Gundarak? No time. I love a bear blind. Very good. No time.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take it.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like... what has 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker form. They're like,
he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents. Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I got to hear more about these hooker farms.
Yeah, right? We need to know more about
these hooker farms. It's good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado, Esio, do, Kamo, Di, Yadio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, you mix it up.
Daisa, come here. Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking. No, hookah farm, come here. Bonsai, Daniel-san. Bonsai! He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on. Oh, wax off.
Up. Down.
In, out. In, yeah. Out. In. Ooh, that feels good. In,
then
out.
Said, remember
in,
when
out.
I told you paint the fence? And then the sand the floor.
Yeah,
you're the best
story.
Oh, man. Nothing gonna keep it down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Before we delve into the odd news, Mike, you say you have a quick... postscript you want to add to your Toy Story review?
Yeah, I forgot to add real quick, but I feel it's important to mention that the movie is incredibly funny. Going all the way back to Jordan Peele that I mentioned at the top of the show, Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key have characters in the film, and they are two of the funniest characters in any Toy Story film. And it's just, it was interesting listening to the audience, the things that the little kids laughed at, and then the things that the adults laughed at. It was very, very interesting, and it got a lot of laughs from both groups of people throughout the film.
Oh,
very
so
funny.
Did they throw in some adult humor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Stuff that not adult humor, but stuff that only adults would really appreciate, like the ridiculousness of the scenarios. So
it
was pretty good. It was very, very funny. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
I just wanted to add that there that I mentioned that it was very somber, but it was also very funny. It hit the whole spectrum.
All right, so there you go. If Mike's review doesn't do it for you, yeah, you can go see Toy Story 4 in theaters and judge for yourself where it ranks in the pantheon of Toy Story movies. But now we got to move on from movies, and we got to get into the world of wacky but true stories in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene, but maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, 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 go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. Where are we heading to first?
All right. Well, apparently the spread of Florida goes to Alabama.
Oh, no. The spread of Florida. Yeah. You sound like a disease.
Because I got two stories from Alabama this week.
Oh, okay.
Bama.
Now, do you think it's... Now, let me clarify. Do you think these stories are Alabama stories, or do you think that Florida is just expanding its borders of idiocy?
I think Alabama's just jealous of all the coverage Florida's getting, okay, and they've thrown their hat.
They're actively pushing back.
Yeah, because okay. These are some weird stories here. And the first one has been popping up on multiple news feeds that I had, so I know we have to cover this one. Actually, you might have seen this in your news feed as well, because this is so bizarre. Because in Alabama, an Alabama duo tried to train a squirrel supposedly on meth to become an attack squirrel against unwanted visitors, according to cops.
My name is Plays with Squirrels.
Oh, my God.
Yes, full blown. By the way, wasn't Alabama where we had the squirrel cook-off?
I think it was.
So they can't decide whether to cook them or train them.
Oh my God, I think you're right about that.
My name is Plays with Squirrels.
Yes, that's going to be the name of every single guy from Alabama from here on out, because this is two squirrel stories, all right? I can't deal with this, and this is pretty weird.
I can't believe, so they put it on meth?
Allegedly, yep.
To do this?
Yes.
It could only be an attack squirrel while on meth.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure I understood this properly.
So here's the story. Investigators were initially looking for 35-year-old Mickey Polk, who had warrants out for illegal possession of a firearm and possession of drug paraphernalia. Deputies said that they came to the home of Polk. And that's when they bursted in the door and found a squirrel captive that was being used as, quote, an attack squirrel. When deputies tried to find Polk, they didn't find him in the home at the time, but they did find his friend and co-conspirator, 37-year-old Ronnie Reynolds. Reynolds is charged with possession of a controlled substance and loitering at a known drug house. Reynolds apparently told cops that they were feeding the squirrel meth to keep it aggressive and stay in its attack squirrel state.
Oh, my God.
My name is plays with squirrels.
I can't take this seriously because it's just so stupid.
Yes.
It's just so stupid.
Yes.
And also, I just want to point out the writing of this article had a squirrel captive. They make it sound like it's a hostage, like it's tied to a chair in the middle of the room.
Well, it wasn't getting out.
I understand that, but I mean, like, it's just an interesting choice of words. When you say captive, I imagine, like, hog-tied, gag in the mouth, or, you know, tied to a chair. But, like, where was the squirrel? Was it in a cage? Was it on a leash? How did they know?
I think it was in a cage.
Did they know immediately when they came in the door that it was supposed to be an attack squirrel? Like, did it attack them?
I don't think so. I think it was only when Reynolds told the cops what the squirrel was doing
so
there.
So all they did was see a squirrel in a cage.
Going crazy.
Okay. I'm just trying to paint myself a mental picture here of what they see when they burst into the room.
Yeah.
Was the squirrel, like, just all white powdery, you know, from all the meth?
Well, after Reynolds was arrested, the deputies had to decide what they were going to do with the supposed attack squirrel. The Limestone County Public Information Officer, Stephen Young, says that no one wanted to get close to the squirrel's cage initially.
Oh, my God.
According to the deputies, it's illegal to have a native wild animal as a pet like this. So at the time, they turned it over to Wild Animal Control. So there you go. The squirrel is with them now.
Are they just going to release this drugged up squirrel back into the wild?
I guess. I don't know what else you can do with it.
My name is Plays with Squirrels.
Nobody's going to be playing with this squirrel.
Yeah.
Now, why did they think that an attack squirrel would be a good idea? Were they just too cheap to get a dog?
Yeah. Dog costs money. But a squirrel, you can find it out in the backyard
and train
it. But
they went through the effort of catching a squirrel.
Yes.
They could have just bought a dog. This is going to sound really bad. I'm sure there were probably cheap places to get dogs in Alabama. Yeah. Let's be brutally honest.
It's Alabama.
Okay. They had to do way more work to catch a squirrel.
Well, guess what? We keep forgetting about the initial person here, Mickey Polk. He was not found. So he's on the run from the law officially as of this moment. And deputies say, like the attack squirrel, he's probably not dangerous, but you should not approach him if you come across him. So
he's probably not dangerous, just like the attack squirrel.
Yeah.
Love it.
So there you go. Alabama, man. I don't know what you guys do. I don't know what your fascination is with squirrels. But from here on out, any person that I come across that says that they're from Alabama, I'm just going to call them Plays with Squirrels now.
My name is Plays with Squirrels.
I mean, any chance you get to use Boy Meets World quotes in real life
is a
good time.
That's right.
That's amazing.
But we still have another Alabama story, because why not?
Batting 1,000.
Yeah. Here you go, Alabama.
More squirrels or something else?
No, this is something else, and okay. this is pretty out there. An Alabama woman has been charged with the sexual torture of a 25-year-old man.
Oh my God.
Who was under the influence of the date rape drug GHB and bound with duct tape when he was assaulted.
Oh my God.
I said what in the butt. 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 You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt. Let's do it in the butt. Okay.
Yep. 36-year-old Jennifer Johnson was accused of violating an incapacitated man with a sex toy in Cottondale, which is a Tuscaloosa suburb.
Oh, my gosh.
Police learned of the attack when they discovered incriminating videos on Johnson's phone following her arrest for possession of a stolen Honda Civic. So, wow, she's a winner.
Wow. They found videos on her phone?
Yes.
So she said, I'm going to do something clearly illegal and videotape it as well.
Yes.
Just in case.
Yes. Boy, yeah. She's very smart.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
I mean, she is from Alabama.
At the time of her arrest, Johnson stated that she was a prostitute and that because of that, I have a lot of weird videos on my phone. Oh, of course.
I don't think that makes it okay.
What logic?
Is that the get out of jail free card? Oh, I got a lot of weird videos. That's fine.
Right. That's par this for the
course.
This
is only like the seventh weirdest, all
yeah,
right?
Come on.
That's not, no. It doesn't, that's not how this works.
The weird videos found on Johnson's phone, investigators say, showed her penetrating the victim's anus with a dildo. Yeah,
oh,
this
that's
is
not good.
Yeah, this is full blown. The man was under the date rape drug GHB and physically helpless.
That's messed up.
Yeah. During the whole time in the video, Johnson jokes and laughs about the man throughout the video.
Oh, she's that. What a jackass.
Yeah.
What a scumbag.
Yep. Apparently, according to cops, there is no record of any relationship between Johnson and the victim.
Did she find this person?
I guess,
or did he hire her and it went horribly, horribly wrong?
Well, if she says she's a prostitute, I guess they probably maybe went out for like a drink and she probably slipped him something during the...
Oh, man.
You know, during the initial drinking.
See that? Don't do prostitutes.
Johnson... Oh, I forgot where it was in the story. Oh, here we go. Since her arrest, Johnson has been held in the county jail on originally a $20,000 bond, but her bond was up this week to $80,000
wow.
in light of the new felony sexual torture charge.
Jeez.
So, yeah, she's
well,
done.
I mean, video evidence.
Yeah,
so...
she's not getting out of that now.
No.
So.
I feel like we've still seen higher bails for less crimes.
Yeah, but 80,000.
I mean, 80,000.
That's
pretty steep.
She's not getting out of that one.
Oh yeah,
unless her pimp comes.
Well, I mean, some prostitutes make good money. You have to assume, right? Although maybe not in Alabama.
Yeah.
What's the going rate for a prostitute in Alabama? What is it, like a quarter?
Well, according to Rick Murarchy, it's probably like 10 cents.
10 cents.
Remember?
I
that?
Remember that. Yeah, if you don't like teeth, you can get them for 10 cents.
Yeah, so
that's one of the best lines. That's what it was. She's one of those toothless prostitutes for 10 cents. That's what you get.
There you go.
That's the 10 cent special.
10 cent special.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. All right, we're leaving Alabama finally. Thank God.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, we had enough of that. But now we're going to go to Houston, Texas in our next story.
Okay.
An elderly Walmart greeter was punched in the face by a shopper who was trying to leave the Texas store with
Yikes.
Unpaid merchandise, according to cops. Yeah, bam.
That poor greeter.
Just,
jeez.
Right away. But that's it. That's all it takes.
Man, just trying to do his job.
According to cops, 75-year-old Mohindra Radowa was working Friday night at a Walmart in Cypress, which is a Houston suburb, when he was arrested by 42-year-old Craig Valentine. As detailed in the criminal complaint, Radowa scanned Valentine's purchases and then saw that an 18-pack of Gatorade showed it was not properly paid for. Radowa checked the receipt manually and did not see any Gatorade on the receipt. Valentine, cops say, then got angry and said, "Come on, everything is paid for, and I have to leave now." So there you go. Very important. He's a very important man. I have
very
business.
Important person, yeah.
Very important business on Friday night.
Yes,
I
with your
go.
18-pack of, what was it, Gatorade?
Yes. I have to leave now. He then violently snatched the receipt from the Walmart employee's hand. When Radowa persisted, Valentine pushed the worker and then dropped him to the ground with a right hook.
Wow.
Bam. Out.
So wait, who punched who? Did the worker punch the guy? Or the
no,
guy?
The guy punched the worker.
Okay. That's what I thought originally, but I'm a little
yeah.
confused there.
Just like that. Bam.
Lots of fisticuffs going on. Here's what I don't get. You got caught. You know, you tried. You failed. Just fess up. Put the Gatorade back and leave. It's not like you're gonna get into a fight over Gatorade.
Yeah, an 18-pack of Gatorade.
I mean, like, all right, fine. If you like Gatorade, sure, I guess. But it just—I feel like it's not worth it. You know, it's
well,
not a big enough ticket item.
Well, unfortunately for him, the attack was completely captured on security cameras. Radowa had a bloodied lip, a bump on his head, and bent glasses. Oh, I hate
that's
to see
that's the worst
yeah,
part.
Yeah, you
got to
get your
glasses.
You got to get new
you
glasses.
Get, you ever get like hit in the face with something wearing your glasses and it like bends it just a little bit out of place and then your vision is all weird? You
yeah,
know what I'm talking
you gotta
about?
You got to get new frames.
Yeah, well, no, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it just gets like bent a little bit and you try to bend it back into position, it just doesn't feel right after that.
Well, that, yeah, you got to get new frames. If it doesn't feel right, uh-uh.
I always just suffer through it. Maybe that's why I'm super blind.
Yeah, this is why your vision has gotten so much worse, Mike.
My vision is, I don't know how vision works. I have like 4,000 over 20 or something. I don't know. That's probably the wrong way around. I have 1 over 20. Somebody tell me how vision works. My vision's bad.
In a follow-up call to the store, Valentine tried to apologize for assaulting Radawa, but unfortunately, he was still arrested by cops on a felony charge.
What was the felony?
Causing injury to an elderly individual.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he is 70. Yeah, the worker was 75 years old.
What's their definition of elderly? Like, what's the cutoff? Does anybody know? Is it like senior citizen status? Like,
I don't know what the official Texas guidelines are.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that there was... Well, I guess if there's crimes for endangering children specifically, you know, child-related crimes, there would have to be elderly-related crimes.
Yeah. Good. That's what
you just like playing your punch sound effect.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, he got punched. So there you go. Valentine was freed after posting a $1,000 bond. So...
After a felony?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do things in Texas.
they play fast and loose with the rules down there, I guess.
We're going to throw an extreme felony at you, but it's a $1,000 bond.
Right. So, wait. He had enough money to pay the $1,000 bond, but not 18-pack of Gatorade from Walmart?
Yep.
I'm calling BS on that.
I think it's just being stupid.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
That's crazy. Is there anything you would get in a fight over that... You know, like a product that you were trying to steal or take that you would that passionate about that you would get in a fight over? Because I don't feel like Gatorade is that big a deal.
Absolutely not Gatorade.
Like you got caught, just give it up. And you know what? I just looked it up. It's $9.
There you go.
It's $9, Rich. This makes me so pissed off.
Yep. If you're going to be violent, it should be something for a bigger...
You can get an 18 count of Gatorade Thirst Quencher Sports Drink Variety Pack, 12 fluid ounces, for $8.96. And I can get free 2-day delivery.
Yeah, Valentine. Ever heard of Amazon Prime?
Yeah. Well, no, this is off of Walmart's website.
Walmart. Oh, no.
This is Walmart's website. Wow. Yeah.
Don't even go to Walmart. You should have just shopped online.
Right, exactly.
No one to punch.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You have your choice of, you know, doing it from the comfort of your home and not having to fight somebody or having to fight somebody. I'm going to do it from the comfort of my own home.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
For $3 more, you can get a 24-pack. Stupid.
All right. Next story, we're going to South Carolina. And this is a short story, but it's funny to imagine. A South Carolina woman over the weekend avoided a DUI. Because her unconventional ride that she was driving was a motorized toy truck, according to cops. So there you go. Interesting.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
How big was this toy truck?
Like a little kiddie truck.
Like a little tiny, like miniature truck?
Or yes.
Like what is it? So wait, was it one of those like ride-in ones that the kids have?
Or yes.
It was one of those ones? Okay.
Police pulled over 25-year-old Megan Holman, who was riding around in a kid's silver Power Wheels truck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Honk, honk.
That's amazing.
She was driving this about a mile away from her home, which is pretty far on one of those.
Yeah, really?
You know, little tiny kids electric truck.
They don't go very fast.
No.
To drive a mile on that, you have to be... I mean, that's quite a trip.
Yeah. Holman was under the influence while
she
drove on the road.
Wow, I'm totally shocked.
Yeah. Police found her cruising along in the motorized toy truck.
Wait, does that count as a DUI?
Well, that was the question. Does this actually count because is it a vehicle? However, cops determined that because the motorized toy truck can only reach a top speed of about 5 miles per hour, it did not qualify as a vehicle.
So she didn't get a DUI.
No, she avoided
it.
Wow.
Yep.
There you go.
So what is the... Oh, this opens up a can of worms then. So what is the speed you have to cross to get a DUI?
Maybe like double digits?
So
because remember, we've had lawnmowers. Lawnmowers count.
Oh, yeah.
That's a DUI. Yeah.
So, like, if you have, like, a motorized, like, scooter, like, you know, those Razor scooter type things?
And you're drunk?
Would that count as a DUI?
I guess if you can get up to, you know, significant speed, yeah.
Where does a bicycle fall? Because a bicycle is totally dependent on your own power.
I think that is a DUI, too.
For a bicycle?
I think so, yeah.
This is really interesting. I don't know. I'm going to search it. If you can get a DUI on a bicycle.
All right. Well, while you do that, I got to read more of this story.
Yeah, I got to find out more about this.
Because it gets a little bit stranger here. Holman told police that first she rode the toy truck as part of a scavenger hunt.
You can get charged. In Pennsylvania, you can get charged with a DUI if you're riding a bicycle.
There you go.
There you go. Sorry, go ahead.
So first she said it was part of a scavenger hunt. Then in the incident report, officers then noted that she changed her story. She said that all of a sudden she wanted to be a professional wrestler like her father.
Wait, no.
And she was training on how to drive the toy truck so she could use it as her entrance to the ring.
Those are two wildly different stories, and neither of them are remotely plausible.
Right.
No, you know what she did? She just watched Fighting With My Family, the movie.
Uh-huh.
And she thought, yeah, I'm going to take after my father and become a wrestler.
There
did
you
ever watch that movie?
No, I still haven't gotten around.
You got to watch it. That's what she did, though. She watched that movie, and she just had wrestling on the mind.
There you go.
But so first she says scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
And, like, she just completely, like, she doesn't expand on it. She doesn't be like, oh, well, it wasn't really a scavenger hunt. It was a you know, a something similar to a scavenger hunt. No, she goes into complete 180.
Yeah. To now professional wrestler.
That's still so stupid. She would use the toy truck as part of her entrance? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a bad plan. I mean, even if that were true and it's not true, that would just be dumb.
Police did charge her with public intoxication, but she will not be charged with a DUI, according to cops.
There you go.
So she only has, and public intoxication is probably just a minor charge. You can get rid of that easy.
That's nothing.
So
there you go. If you really want a drunk drive.
Yeah.
Use your kid's toy truck if you got kids.
There you go.
Or if you don't have kids, just buy them.
Drunken moms of the world.
There you go. Yeah.
There's your loophole.
This is your loophole. You're out, you know, having a good time at the club, at the bar. You had a few too many. That's all right, because guess what you got in the trunk of your car? That's right. A kid's motorized vehicle.
There you go.
A loophole.
And you can use it.
Think about how many deaths I just caused, Rich. I'm sorry, humanity. Don't listen to me.
All right. Well, here's some people that definitely don't listen to us because it's time to get to our obligatory Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
All right. I got two Florida stories here for you this week. Let's go with this one first. By the way, this is how the journalism in Florida is.
Okay.
Passing gas in public is often embarrassing.
Right.
I know. I didn't know if that was...
Hard-hitting opening line right there.
Right. I didn't know if that was a topic of debate.
Oh.
But for a Dania Beach woman, passing gas while waiting in line in a Dollar General store led to an arrest on a charge of aggravated assault.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yep. So 37-year-old Shanetta Yvette Wilson was in the checkout line at the Dollar General store on Sunday evening. John Walker, the customer standing next to her, suddenly got into a verbal dispute with her in reference to Wilson farting very loudly, according to Walker. Yeah, how dare you?
How dare you pass gas in my direction?
And in line, too.
I know.
We can't move.
Right. Trapped.
Yes, ew. That's when Wilson then got very defensive and pulled a knife from her purse.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
I mean, you realize that this story is just the epitome of class in Florida.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
You got a farting middle-aged lady in a Dollar General wielding a knife.
Yep.
I can't think of anything that better sums up Florida than that right there. Was she drunk?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you really sure? Because I feel like there has to be something. She has to have had something in her system.
I think she just farts a lot.
She just farts a lot.
So she then pointed the knife at the victim and said, "If you don't stop accusing me of farting, I'm going to gut you."
Wow. That's a bit extreme.
Wow. I mean, I know, you know, whoever smelled it dealt it, but what the hell is this?
Well, whoever denied it supplied it.
Whoever
knifed it.
Knife. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Figure out something wrong with knife.
That's a homework project for later.
Yeah.
But I can't believe
I don't remember a knife ever in this game.
I can't imagine she would stab somebody over being accused of farting.
She pulled her right hand with the knife and acted like she was going to attack the victim with it. So that's when the clerks called 911. Police arrived.
Oh, yeah. They're in line during this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, the person at the cashier's is like, next, next. And they're just having a knife fight right there.
These two guys smell and are violent.
Those poor cashiers are like, I'm not getting paid nearly enough to deal with this.
Police arrived and they found Wilson in the parking lot. Wilson was then arrested and her bail was set at $2,500. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what charge she gets from this.
Man, that's crazy. A knife fight.
For over
it wasn't really a knife fight. It was a knife threatening.
Over a fart.
Over a fart.
Yep. All right, and I got one more story here to wrap up the odd news, and of course it's Florida.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, this one. Oh my gosh. This one, I gotta know the guy's logic. I wanna know, if they ever find this guy, I wanna know his logic.
All right. Maybe we can help figure it out.
A Florida homeowner wants an apology after a man was caught on video randomly defecating on his driveway and then leaving the mess and his shirt that he used to clean himself behind.
Oh, God. That's... Ew. I mean, I guess at least he cleaned himself? I don't know what's worse here.
There's Mike looking at the bright side of things.
Well, oh, that's... You're wasting a whole shirt. I mean, you're not going to wear that shirt again.
No, of course not.
Yeah, if you're doing that, it's done. That's awful.
Homeowner Wilton Thomas is trying to be understanding, but he's very frustrated after his Ring home camera surveillance system captured an unidentified man pooping in his driveway. Thomas said, quote, "I know when it comes for you to go, you have to go," but he could have drove right towards a coconut tree area and do what he wanted to there. Why did he have to do this on my driveway?
Wait, he said drove. Was this person in a car and got
yes. And he
so
chose,
he stopped.
Right.
And he chose right there.
Right. His driveway.
And this was clearly a targeted crapping. Right?
Well, no, the guy doesn't know him.
They're just completely random strangers.
Yeah, because they have the surveillance video.
But they don't know each other?
Right.
Are you? But maybe the one guy knows of the other guy, like through an acquaintance or like...
Well, we have to go by Thomas. Thomas says he doesn't know the guy.
You're saying
maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the guy knows.
Because if you're driving around, like, why just stop in the middle of a person's driveway?
That's what I want to know, yeah. Why this one's particularly?
And why your shirt? Good God, you don't have anything else?
You're obsessed over the shirt.
It's really upsetting, Rich. Because you know he didn't get a good cleanup with it. And you know now he's going to be driving around shirtless the rest of the day.
Well, for Florida, I think that's par for the course. Isn't everybody just without clothes in Florida?
I guess.
I think that's par for the course.
It's just highly upsetting that he just he did this thing, and then he, like, his best course of action was using the shirt. You really couldn't hold it in, though, wherever you were going? Or, like, I don't know. This is messed up. Use, like, some leaves or something, you know?
No, don't use... No, leaves are horrible.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know?
It's brittle. It'll just fall apart.
Well, you're not using, like, leaves that have, like, you know, like, fall leaves. You're using, like, you know...
Florida leaves.
Fresh and supple springtime leaves.
I don't know. I wouldn't trust leaves.
Don't they got palm trees down there? The big palms, you know?
Well, apparently they got coconut trees.
Do coconut trees have big leaves?
I don't know. I'm just saying this guy says he should have just went in the coconut tree.
Why do you want to defile a coconut tree like that?
I don't know. That's what the guy's saying.
I mean, coconut trees have big leaves. I'm looking at them right now. He could have used a leaf.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know. Yes, that would be uncomfortable, but you're going to sacrifice your shirt?
Maybe it was a poor shirt to begin with.
So did he go out with the intention of using it to wipe up?
I don't think so.
Then why would you go out with a shirt that's ratty, that you're willing to sacrifice it to crap?
Because it's Florida.
Nothing about this story makes sense.
Thomas says that he was at work on Saturday afternoon when a green car pulled into the driveway. In the surveillance video, the driver opens the door, takes off his shirt, then stoops down on the driveway and relieves himself. Yep.
He took off his shirt. He knew he was going to have to use it to wipe up.
Yep.
He was that unprepared.
Then, just as quickly as he arrived on the driveway, the man hopped into his car and drove off, running over the feces as he did so.
Come on.
Oh,
wait, where did he poop then?
Man.
Did he... What? This had to have been intentional. Hold on. He pulls into the driveway, right?
Yeah.
Which means... Where did he poop? Did he just poop outside the door? And like as he was backing up, he sort of... Or did he poop in back of the car? Because it would have to be somewhere where he could hit it.
Yeah, I guess he pooped in the back of his car. Because it says he ran over it.
Right. Why? So I don't understand. So when you pull into a driveway, like you pull in unless he backed in, but I don't think. But then also, my point is this. Think about how driveways are attached to the road, right? He would have to poop at the entrance of the driveway to run it over as he's coming out of the driveway.
I guess that's what he did.
Which means he's not using the car as shielding.
Or unless if it's one of those driveways that's like a C and like kind of connects, you know, and it's like one way. Maybe it's something like that.
I just don't know.
Either way, he ran over. This is what the story says. He runs over the feces.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, it's going to be all over the place now.
Yep. He also left his shirt behind, which Thomas says he used to clean himself up. Ugh. Yep.
That's so gross.
Thomas said that when he got home on Saturday night, it was too late to take care of the mess right away, so he had to wait till the following morning.
Oh.
And that's when he said that it was baked in the hot sun from all day Saturday.
Oh, God. You just got to move.
Yeah. That's it. Got to move.
Burn
that's
the house
it.
Down.
End of story.
Move. It's over.
It's over.
You had a good run. That poop is forever part of your driveway.
Consequences will never be the same. Because you done goofed.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean,
That's just it. It's never the same.
It's not. That spot is just ruined forever. It's been permanently defiled.
Thomas said that he then poured bleach and hosed and washed the whole driveway off. Thomas said that he's ready to put the situation behind him, but he says he wants an apology from the person responsible.
Yeah, look, this dude crapped in your driveway and wiped himself up with a shirt. There's no way he's apologizing. Let's just be real. If he's the type of person to do that, he's not apologizing.
Yeah. Thomas ends with the quote, following quote, I would have much more respect for the man if he were to come back to my house, knock, and say, man, you know what? I had an emergency. I had nowhere to go, and this is what I had to do. An apology is all I want.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, I think he's wrong, because at this point, I do not want to even know this guy. I don't want him coming to my house. I don't want him coming to my driveway. I don't want him coming to my lawn.
Stay far away.
Stay as far away from me as possible with your pooping
Why
nature.
The driveway?
Yeah. Go away. I don't want to deal with you ever
clearly
again.
Clearly, he wasn't concerned with being seen because he's pooping in a wide open area.
Yeah.
And he's not using the car for shielding because he's pooping in back of it because he had to run it over coming out of the driveway.
I've heard of, you know, birds crapping on you for good luck. What the hell do you call this? This random guy chose your house.
This is like super luck.
Yeah.
You go and you play all the lotteries.
After this? Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's... You didn't win the lottery, but you won the random poop guy coming to your house and pooping over your driveway.
And I mean, isn't that even more rare than winning the lottery? What are the odds of that happening?
Yeah, out of all the houses, he chooses yours to
like
take
it was,
a crap.
It was like, oh, this is it. This is the moment. I can't make it a single house further. I can't make it down the road to the gas station. I can't make it anywhere else. It has to be right here, right now.
Congratulations.
He clearly still had control of his bowels because he had to stop the car, get out, disrobe, and then poop.
Yep.
Think about that. He held it long enough to park. He's got to take the seatbelt off. He's got to get out. Did he leave the car running? Did he leave the door open?
I'm going to go where he left the car running because it says it happened really fast. He pooped and wiped himself and got out.
But he took off his shirt before he pooped. If you go back to the story, he said he takes off his shirt, then squats and poops. So there was a process that he was following. So it wasn't that dire. You know what I mean?
Well, it was probably about to happen.
It was prairie dogging.
Right. And he had some time.
He was running. He had a little bit of time, but he was running out.
Right.
The fuse was getting shorter and shorter.
Exactly. So he had to do something.
Or longer and longer. I don't know. How does the fuse work in this case?
No, fuse is shorter.
Well, I know, but you, never mind.
Oh, you're so, oh.
Yeah, it was a bad poop joke. It was a bad poop joke.
Okay,
let's just move on.
Yeah, you know what? We're making poop jokes, and I'm not getting them, so I think that means we got to start wrapping this episode up. But before we visually do, we have to go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that apparently your shirt is a really good emergency wipe-up tool.
If it's a shirt, you're not afraid to lose, yep.
I mean, you might not have a choice, though. So always wear crappy shirts out. You never know.
Always wear an undershirt.
Oh, there you go. That's the real secret. Why couldn't you use a sock?
Okay, I mean, I guess you could.
No, you can go without socks in your shoes.
It's Florida. They all wear sandals.
They all wear sandals?
Yep.
That's statewide.
Yep.
It's official. Sandals.
Yep.
You cross the border, boom, your socks just explode off your feet. You're in sandals.
Unless you're in government.
That's okay. Sure. That logic works, I think.
Those are the rules I've just made up.
Yes, that's right. Well, yeah, I don't even know what to say to that. Moving along, though, I learned that there is a key loophole in DUI laws that you should bring a child's motorized vehicle with you when you go out drinking. Because apparently you can't get a DUI for driving a kid's toy.
Yeah, it only goes 5 miles per hour, so you're fine.
That's the law. Apparently they just made that one up too, because I've never heard of it, and it's totally bizarre enough to have been made up on the fly.
Or maybe that's just South Carolina.
Maybe. I'm going to say it's everywhere. Because it fits the narrative better.
South Carolina, yeah. Maybe it's a South Carolina thing.
Well, we did learn that in Pennsylvania you can get charged with DUI for riding a bicycle.
Yep, don't do
that
it.
That is something to consider. I also learned that if you think we shouldn't raise the minimum wage, consider all the knife-wielding, farting maniacs these poor cashiers have to deal with. That was my big takeaway from that story. That cashier's just standing there, waiting for this person to finish stabbing this other person over a fart.
And farting, yeah.
And I know. They're not getting paid enough.
Yeah.
There's dollar store cashiers.
Yeah.
Where's the hazard pay?
I want to confront the farting woman.
No, not at all. Not for $8 an hour.
Nope.
And, finally I learned that when the choice is between buying something online and getting into a fight, just buy it online.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Just pay the $9.
No one to punch. You're fine.
Yeah, I know. I can't imagine anything that I would be willing to fight over at a Walmart.
Yeah. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir. I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another great episode of the Chris Middle Podcast coming to a close on this week's episode. Thank you for listening and tuning in to the Chris Middle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast. So you get all of our latest news and updates and things that we want to share with you in real time.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on a variety of podcast services.
We're everywhere.
That's right. We're taking over the world.
Yeah. So at this point, yeah, I think it's choose your favorite podcasting app and do a search for the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and you should be able to find us. If you go to our SoundCloud page, we have the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, shrunk down to a quick promo that you can easily listen to and share with friends and family the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter to share your stories that may get featured on the episode, you can reach us. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. If you find us on the Twitters and send us a news story, we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah.
If it's odd news, send it my way.
That's right.
But if it's sports or entertainment, something in those realms you want us to chat about, yeah, send it to one of our Twitter accounts and we'll take it under advisement and we will give you a shout out for sending it to us and influencing the show. We want to know what you want us to talk about. So shoot us a quick message if you would like. But for right now, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and it's time for us to go. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us for this week. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.